fight. You gonna step it up.
And by working, I challenge each other.
We want a fight for
it. Let's
go. Let's go.
He plays the maze, baby. Let's get him.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you, live from the NovaCare Complex. Hope you're having a great day today. Eagles coordinators meet the media, so we'll get the latest from them as the team prepares for the New York Jets' big game on Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. It's the Eagles' Go Green game, and that means we will make you more aware of the things that this organization does in the environment to make our world a better place. Of course, the Eagles last week recognized globally as the sport team of the year by Beyond Sport at their conference in Cape Town, South Africa. Let's get to some headlines. You can keep them up there, Ryan. No problem. I'll get you. Michael Vick, Todd Herrmann's, Cullen Jenkins, Daryl Tapp did not practice yesterday. They did take part in the walkthrough prior to practice. Will they take part today in practice? We'll find out about that. Now, Vick missing the practice. Everybody does expect him to play. So, you know, no panic there. But you know, you'd like to see him in practice. But not able to do so today or yesterday. A lot of treatment for Michael Vick as those ribs very sore from Sunday's game in Miami. The coordinators begin their press conferences at 11:30. Eagles nightly tonight is at 7 o'clock. And a great film room. Greg Cosell and Adam Kaplan breaking down the Jets' coverage schemes. It's a complicated defense that Rex Ryan runs. Eagles' offense has to be great on Sunday to score a lot of points and beat them. We also will be interviewing a very special fan who wins a very special memories contest run by PhiladelphiaEagles.com, Fairly Philadelphia Eagles Facebook page. So got a lot of entries for that. A winner has been selected, and he'll tell you his story in just a little bit. So we're excited for the show. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for sticking in there. I'm intrigued by Sunday's game. I think it's going to be a great game. I am not thinking about the playoffs per se. I'm thinking about beating a good New York Jets team on Sunday and finding out just a little bit more about the Eagles. And you know, particularly how they match up against a very good team. The Jets playing outstanding football right now. Some early season struggles right there. Bam! Some mishaps, some missed timings. But the Jets at the right time this year, putting it together. And they've played good football. They're 8-5, and Rex Ryan's got that crew again headed to the playoffs. And it's a run-oriented offense. Mark Sanchez, a good quarterback, who actually they're sixth in the league in points scored, which I think is kind of remarkable. You know, I don't think I saw that coming. So there are some young players here who are going to have to step up, and you know, we've got some injuries here with Daryl Tapp and Brandon Graham. We hear him talking yesterday in the locker room about next year. Kind of disappointing. I'd like to see him get on the field this year, shake off the rust from that injury. It's given Phillip Hunt an opportunity to play more. He played well in Miami, had a chance to talk to him and find out where he's at as far as confidence goes and performance. We begin the show with Phillip Hunt, first-year defensive end for the Eagles, coming off a nice game in Miami.
Hey, just talk about what the sack and the playing time on Sunday and the success you had, all that, what that does for you just from a mental standpoint.
You know, it just gives me confidence that it can't happen, and that gives me more confidence to keep rushing hard and trying to get another sack.
Was Sunday a technique thing with you? Did you feel like, was it a hustle thing? Was it a tempo thing? Kind of describe the whole situation. Not just the sack, just every rep you took.
Early in the year, you know, I took that as a chance to get acclimated with the NFL way of playing and just coming off and Coach Wash's technique. And now that I've had some time on the field and off the field to sit back and watch, I think when it was time for me, my time was up this time. I was ready and a little bit more polished than I was before. So now it's just playing faster more than thinking about the things that I have to do.
So now it's coming more natural to you, is what you're saying?
Oh, most definitely. Yes, I've watched Babin and Trent Cole and Tapp and Jaquay and the rest of those guys play, and I see their techniques, and I hear Coach Wash coaching them up in the film room, and I get a better observation of what things supposed to look like in the game, and just bowled well, played out well for me in the game.
How's your body changed, Philip? Have you gained weight, lost weight, gotten stronger?
I think I've gotten stronger as well. You know, that's given me a better opportunity to take on some double teams and play stronger at the point of attack, and it's made me a better player.
The level of skill among the tackles at this level compared to college, compared to the CFL, is it just a totally different world here?
It's not a totally different world, but definitely in the NFL, you know, you play guys that are on the same level as you athletically, so you have to try to find other ways to beat them, you know, mentally. So, yes, it's a different level of tackles here, but they all can be beat.
So in college, I mean, they're skilled, CFL, they're skilled, but here they're both skilled and really fast, really quick players.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. In the NFL, you know, you have great coaches as well, so they have time to play under these coaches and learn different techniques, and they also know how they want to run things within their scheme. So I think it's just once people come to the NFL, just knowing what the coaches want out of you, the scheme of the offense or defense you're playing, and knowing what your opponent does well and what he's not good at as well, too.
So what's your goal here moving forward the rest of the year here, just day by day kind of thing?
Just take it day by day, like you say, practice hard every day, and then when it comes to game time, come off the ball hard every down and rush hard and look for good things to happen.
Opportunity, opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day, grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it, snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
What's up, Eagles fans? This is Trevor Laws. I just want to wish you guys a happy holiday season.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why?
Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line.
Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our postgame show presented by Rico.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here at the NovaCare Complex Xfinity Studio. We welcome you to the show. Eagles Live, the name of our show, 11 to 1 every day, Monday through Friday. Bobby April will kick off the proceedings across the way in the auditorium. Not a bad job at all last week by the special teams. Let me rectify that. In place, it was certainly an adventurous day. A blocked field goal, a blocked a punt, and then a throwback on the punt return. But I thought Alex Henry kicked the ball very well. I thought Chaz Henry kicked the ball very well. Jackson had one punt return that was nice. I like the coverage on these special teams. The return game has to be better. And when you look back at all the things the Eagles have done here and they've changed out their kicking game, I'm encouraged big time with Alex Henry and Chaz Henry. Alex Henry's made 11 straight field goals. His field goal made percentage is the highest as a rookie in team history, for rookies in team history. Chaz Henry's averaging 43 yards per punt now. Last couple of games, he's averaged 46-plus per punt. So I like that. And the Jets' kicking game is a good one. Going to be a cold day on, but not outrageously cold, but cold enough on Sunday, 40s. We'll see how these young guys do. And it's big, though. You see how big it is around the NFL when teams miss kicks, make kicks, gaffes on special teams. So huge. Always so, so huge. And then it'll be Juan Castillo, and then it'll be Marty Morningwig. Hey, we invite you to pick your top five plays of 2011. If you do it, hey, you can win big. Win some tickets. Win some signed swag. Enter now, philadelphiaeagles.com/top five. Make sure you don't know. What would the top play be? What do you think? Would it be from the Dallas game? Would it be the Riley Cooper catch in the end zone, maybe against the New York Giants? I don't know. Would it be, let's think. Would it be Asante Samuel? No. The interception return against the Cardinals? No. Boy, you could pick so many LeSean McCoy highlights. You could pick Jason Babin sacking Eli Manning at the end of the win over the Giants. So, how about Brian Roll's interception, or fumble recovery, rather, against the and return for a touchdown against the Chicago Bears? Could be that. So, we'd like you to vote on philadelphiaeagles.com/top five. And also, on the homepage, it's the last week to vote for the Pro Bowl. So, make sure you do that. Who are worthy Pro Bowl candidates here? Certainly LeSean McCoy, Jason Peters. Would you consider Todd Harriman's? You'd certainly consider Jason Babin, possibly Trent Cole, although he's had some injuries. Asante? Nnamdi? You tell me. Vote on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Let's take some phone calls. 215-339-6709. Ace in D.C. joins us. Hello, Ace.
Dave, what's up? Only person on this team deserve a Pro Bowl is JP. Nobody else.
You don't think LeSean McCoy?
As good as McCoy has
Wait a minute, been, wait a minute. You're starting me off on the day telling me that the leading rusher in the NFC and the leading touchdown maker in the NFL and the leading first down maker in the NFL does not deserve to be in the Pro Bowl. Tell me, Ace.
Well, I'm not saying he don't deserve it. I'm just saying it's only one person who has on this team who has played every game this year, and that's Ben Peters.
I don't know about
Nobody
that.
Nobody else has gave me
I don't think Peters was particularly good. I don't think Peters was particularly good in Miami last week.
Oh, I think that whole don't even get me started on that Miami game. Well, that's what I called you for. Oh, go ahead, go ahead.
I think McCoy has definitely delivered every game. Definitely delivered every game, and the reason he didn't have a great number last week was because the offensive line got its rear end kicked at times.
Look, Dave, I'm gonna tell you like this. I'm in a dilemma right now.
Okay.
See, what's happening right now is what happens every year, all right? Now, I want everybody to just listen to me clear on this. 2 weeks ago, I saw fans screaming, fire Andy Reid, fire the staff. Now, this is what I got to say about these Eagle fans that be switching up sometimes. It's almost like if we win a game, no matter how we win it, it's like everybody's thoughts change. Man, that was an ugly game last week. You see, I'm not looking at the W because I'm not looking forward to the playoffs. I want to see something extra. And I think Andy Reid's sticking Vic in there to save his job, not to make the playoffs.
Wait. Sticking? Right? What do you mean sticking Vic in there, Ace? He's the starting quarterback.
Hey, Dave, I agree with that, and I understand how much money we gave this man. But that's too much of a risk right now.
Why?
I don't think he's. We don't need to put him out there.
What?
All right.
So you want to lose games?
He's fighting for a playoff spot. But I just look at he's too fragile. Okay. The way he didn't need to play last week, I don't think. I don't think so. I think we need to be playing Vince Young so we can shop him. Okay. So we can get a better player. I see no reason for Vic. And this Deshaun Jackson thing is really irking my nerves, okay? I'm hearing people saying all these players. Let me ask you this. Did you read the article from the guy on Comcast Sportsnet about the mistakes that the Eagles made on players?
No.
I just put it
like really, this. I don't really need to know, to read somebody. I know the mistakes. We don't. I know they've made mistakes on players. I can tell you every mistake they made on a player. You go ahead and
we don't have a problem this year, Dave. Because if Andy Reid went out, we all going to think that everything is cool. And I say this every year I call you, Dave. This is what the Eagles are known to do. Blow six, win five. Get in the playoffs, lose in the first round. Next year, I hope
They're not known to do that, Ace. They've been in 13 Andy Reid seasons, 12 full seasons. They've been to the NFC Championship game, what, five times? So they're not known to go to the playoffs and lose one game. In the last 2 years, yes. Yes. They lost in the first round of the playoffs.
Okay, so if you get to the playoffs right now, Dave, and I'm not looking forward to you to be, tell me straight up. But if the Eagles win out, do all of this change? If Juan Castillo, in two games, shut somebody out, does everybody's thoughts on him change?
I think we almost have to,
and I hate to say this as an Eagle fan, man, in order to get some change over there, we got to lose. And I'm not saying I want to lose. I'm just saying I don't want to be tricked by these fluke wins. Like, that win last week was one of the flukest wins I ever saw.
Why was
no
it?
No points in the second half.
So what? They scored 24 in the first half. Ace, look, usually you make a lot of sense. Today you're making no sense at all.
Don't make sense. I'm being realistic.
No, you're being idiotic, Ace. You're being idiotic. You made your first statement was that LeSean McCoy doesn't bring it every week, and that Jason Peters is the only.
No, I didn't say that.
You said Jason Peters is the only one who brings it every week. I mean,
look,
that's a ridiculous statement.
Eagles fans, and see, look, just some of them. Look, man, I just need Eagles fans to be realistic. Trent Cole don't.
Everybody is realistic. Everybody's disappointed.
So you're saying
Trent
Cole should deserve a Pro Bowl spot, Dave?
Probably not. Probably
not. Okay, let's go. There's a few names you named that
should. Well, so what? I'm just throwing it out there. That's all.
I understand. I'm just saying. I'm a little frustrated because of the situation we're in. If we win these games and go to the playoffs,
anything can happen. Anything can happen.
Dave, come on, man. See, this my thing. Big Wing saw you in Miami. He was at the game too.
Okay.
And this the thing. It seemed like every time they win a game, everybody's thoughts change.
Of course.
This is the same team. We played the Miami Dolphins. They're not good.
Who had won 4 of 5, and everybody was blowing smoke up their rear ends this time a week
ago.
You're
right. They were. But, I mean,
so
we're not.
That's how the perspective changes. Ace, I sit here every day. The Eagles are 5-8. You think people are walking around going, yeah, we beat the Miami Dolphins. Everything's solved. No.
No. That's the way everybody's talking.
Who's everybody talking? Who's talking like that?
Okay, like, listen to what you're saying.
Fans?
You're saying anything's possible.
Anything is possible.
That part.
The Packers made the playoffs on the last day of the regular season last year.
Man, I just wish y'all. See, that right there, I just wish. We are not the Packers, Dave. Stop trying to compare yourself to that. You're nowhere near that, okay? You don't have the receivers. You don't have the quarterback. You don't have the defense.
I'm not comparing them. I'm not comparing this
team on the Green Bay Packers.
I'm not they are the standard right now. They're undefeated. A year ago, they were injury riddled, and they were struggling, and they were a team that didn't. All I'm saying is they didn't make the playoffs until the end of the season. The Steelers,
but they got better players,
The Steelers, when they won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, they had just gotten to the playoffs in the last game of the regular season. They barely made the playoffs. I mean, it happens. The Cardinals barely make the playoffs. They get to the Super Bowl. The Eagles barely made the playoffs in 2008. They go to the NFC Championship game. The goal is to get to the playoffs and then win when you're in the playoffs. Ace, give me a prediction for this week.
Hey, Dave, you know how I am on these predictions. Let me just make this point before I get out of here. You know, every time I hear this show, we talk Green Bay, gold standard and all that. Man, think about your team, your own team. Make your team in your own the way we should make them. The mistake we made was trying to make them like the Green Bay Packers, drafting Nnamdi Asamoah and trying to use him like Darren Woodson. And he's not that. All I'm saying is, man, I want to move forward.
Of course.
I don't want to see what I saw this year. I don't want to see coaches.
Nobody wants to see 5-8, but there's three games remaining here, Ace.
Let me ask you this. Do you think DeSean Jackson is a number one receiver on our team?
No, I've said this before. I think Jeremy Maclin's a better receiver. I love both of them, but I think Jeremy Maclin's a better player overall. Said that all week. Been saying all week. DeSean Jackson's a very fine player. He's
DeSean
a very
Jackson
fine player.
Is overrated, Dave. Okay, I'm not scared to say that. It's like people got this love for this dude. We keep calling us explosive. We're not explosive. You know what I'm saying?
Give me a prediction,
Ace. We're not like that. I just want to see something new. And I get frustrated listening to these phony fans, man.
They're not phony fans. They're fans. Everybody's entitled to an opinion.
Well, nobody is blogging this week to fire Andy Reid.
Well,
it's not even being mentioned on his website this week.
Well, why? That's the fans have their opinions. One week, you know how fans are. That's why they're fanatics. Fan is short for fanatic. It makes fans happy to win games.
Cheat the fans because he know that all the Eagle fans think like that.
No.
Every time he come up to the podium and say, I got to do a better job.
Let me tell you something. Andy Reid cares about one thing, and that's winning football games. He doesn't snow anybody. He doesn't BS anybody. He doesn't try to win points for being a great quote or being a pretty boy or being a this or that. He knows ultimately that Eagles fans will love him if he wins a Super Bowl. And they won't love him if he doesn't win the Super Bowl. That's the bottom line.
We can't win the Super Bowl with these players, Dave.
Well, the Eagles are 5-8. It's very difficult.
You can't get the players.
It's very difficult to win a Super Bowl when you're 5-8. Ace, look, come on. Everybody said this. There's a lot of work to be done, all right? Thank you for the call because you're not going to give me a prediction. I'm done with you. Everybody knows there's a lot of work to be done. Don't come in here raining on the parade after a win. It makes people feel good. Is that a crime? Is it a crime to feel good after a win? You got to come in and remind everybody that this is wrong, that's wrong, this is wrong. No kidding. We know it. Team's 5-8. Fans are allowed to enjoy and express how they feel. I respect your opinion, Ace. I give you the free form. I give you plenty of time to talk. When you come in here and start with Jason Peters is the only one who brings it every week, that's wrong. All right? You're somebody who always talks about knowing what you're talking about, pride in this, pride in that. That's wrong. Tone in California joins us. Hey, Tone.
Hey, how you doing, man? How you doing, Dave? How you doing?
I'm good, Tone. How are you?
Man, I'm all right, man. I'm just kind of, you know, I'm still hopeful for the season, man. I mean, I know it's going to be a long and strenuous season that's going to come upon us, but, I mean, I think our pieces that we got is good. You know, the shortened offseason kind of hurt as far as our defense because, I mean, we have the first year Juan Castillo. So, I mean, if we would have had a complete offseason for our defense, I think our defense would be more in sync with each other.
Well, listen, I think the defense is getting better, and this will be a really good test on Sunday. They've got to put together back-to-back performances. But certainly the defense has been up and down. The offense has been up and down. They've turned the ball over a ridiculous amount of time.
Yeah.
But, hey, Tone, listen, I just want to see the team win games consecutively, get to a high level. I'm not really thinking about the playoffs. The playoffs are out there. We're talking about it. We're having fun with it. You know, but the focus really should just be on go out and repeat the intensity and the urgency that the team played with in Miami. Baby steps here. It's 5-18. Nobody's walking around here saying the whole thing got solved because the Eagles beat the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I got one more question for you, Dad.
Yeah.
What do you think next year we're going to do with Asante Samuel? You think we're going to keep him along with Asamoah and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie? Because I honestly like the three deep rotations in this case one get hurt like Nnamdi did in practice.
Yeah, I would say that's an area that they probably haven't made a decision on. I think anything can happen. I think it's been a tough arrangement this year. Honestly, it's been a tough arrangement this year. Hasn't worked as well as I thought it would, to be honest with you. But the Eagles have great assets back there. If they keep all of them, they got to figure out a way to work them all into the equation. Because certainly, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie has been a very good soldier this year. Hasn't played very much at all. I don't think he's a slot cornerback. And that impacts the whole defense. So I think anything can happen with Asante. I think he can stay. I think he can go. Certainly, if he stays, he's got to be on board with what's going on here and be a leader. I mean, because this team needs leadership. Hey, Tone, give me a prediction for the game, please.
I'm going to go all out and say the Eagles play a great game and say 28-17. Eagles.
All right. Tone, thanks very much.
All right, thank you very much.
You got it, man. Thank you. Have a happy holiday season. Let's take a little break here. When we return, let's take a peek into the auditorium. Bobby April should be along any minute now. We'll get to that in just a moment here on Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the planes, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, please visit the Community Relations page on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're enjoying a great 2011 season together. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
The Eagles season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Well, in just a moment or two, Bobby April, Bobby April's on the way, striding. Look at him. He is in a hurry to talk to the media. Special teams coordinator Bobby April kicks things off. It's coordinator day on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Kind of gone under the radar, making 11 straight field goal attempts. What development, what progress have you seen from him over the course of the season?
Well, I think, you know, he's just way more consistent, even in his daily routine. He's continued to work at it. Certainly, working with the same two guys that amount of time has helped him. And I think even, you know, adjusting to the NFL has helped him. He practiced for so many years, even though it's easier to kick on the pro hash than the college hash. He still was always working. He was in a habit of a different approach to the ball for so long, kicking it off the wider hashes, that even though it was easier, he didn't have it in habit to take the, and it took a while for us to get the right approach and some of those things. The ball's a little different. That takes a while. And I just think he's adapting and adjusting better. But primarily, as I said, the kicker working with the holder and the snapper is paramount. Makes a big difference.
Bobby, are Joe McKnight's returns the thing that concern you the most?
Well, they have a very good special teams. You know, they do a great job. And on the returns, I've been in the league since 1991. I don't think anyone, I'm almost positive, no one's had the consistency as a coach, whether it was at Miami or with the Jets, as Mike Westhoff has had in the kickoff returns. He's year in, year out, not only one of the best on all phases, but in particular the kickoff return. And so they're always formidable. Now you couple that with a guy like Joe McKnight, who's really gifted. You know, I'm from New Orleans, and McKnight's from New Orleans. He played high school ball for one of my friends. He was the number one player in the country coming out of high school. So, you know, he's talented. You have to have talent to have that. Usually it's not an overachiever that's the number one player in the country. So he's got tremendous talent, and he's got a tremendous group working with him. So that is a big concern, no doubt about it. We're concerned about everything, though. But yeah, that's a formidable task.
Why are Westhoff's teams kicking, returning kickoffs? I mean, if it seemed that this is a copycat league, that if he has this special scheme that everybody would...
I don't think, because this, like you said, the scheme is there for all to be seen. It's just really well executed, and I'm not sure exactly what he does, because I've never had the chance to watch their practices or do it. But going back for years now, I don't know if they put a tremendous investment in it time wise. I don't know. I just know they really execute it well, and it's a big challenge for us. Our kickoff coverage team has done well. I mean, starting point wise, we have the best starting point in the league on kickoff coverage. On kickoff return, they have the best starting point. So, we're not going to go in there looking to get a tie. I mean, we're going to go in there looking to get the win. So, but yeah, it's a tremendous challenge. Well, no doubt.
Why do you think you guys are number one in kickoff coverage? What's been the biggest key to your success there?
Well, I think, Alex's kicked better than a lot of people think. There's a perception that he doesn't have a strong leg. I'm not sure. I think it's because he didn't kick off in college. You already have it in your head that he can't kick off, But I think he's shown that he can. And then we've had a lot of guys make some tremendous plays on their instinct, their talent, and their tenacity. We have a lot of inside the 20 tackles. And guys have gone down there and some individual efforts have made some nice plays. Have made some really nice plays. So I think, the player's instincts and his ability to kick maybe a little better than expected, because we really didn't know, We block punt. I'm joking. We had a number of things that didn't go well, primarily – they put 10 guys up there and you have 8 guys to block, basically. You have the option of throwing it out there, which I know no one in this room likes. So, we didn't want to do that. I'm joking. You have the option of throwing it out there, which is, the thing to do. Or you have the option of... No. I meant when they bring 10 in there and they don't cover the 2 guys out there, you can throw it to them, and they can catch it, and they can run for a long ways. It's kind of a fake when you throw it out there. You can do that, or you can protect it. And we have ways of protecting it. We talked about that when we didn't execute the fake. So, you know, I just didn't do a very good job of preparing him. We had some missed techniques. We had some missed assignments. And when that happens, you know, really, you'd like to delegate the player to do something. And then because it's delegated, that's it. But, you know, I've said this before. My high school coach used to tell me, when you know, if you did it 10 times and they still mess it up, then you messed up as a coach. You should have did it at least 11. And we just didn't practice against 10 men enough because we weren't sharp. We weren't crisp. We didn't snap. We weren't sudden. We were just kind of methodical, and that's on me, you know. But there were a couple of things, and they were, you know, they did a better job on it than we did.
Deshaun's lateral to Marsh, was that something that you guys had saw?
Well, we had that in. I mean, well, we have it in. On that, we had a missed assignment on the guy, Culver, that that eventually made the play. I don't want to give away how we blocked that thing, but again, we had a missed assignment on it. No, he can't see that. And the guy, when he let the ball, he's got to assume that guy is taken out.
So he's an option there to run.
He has an option. He has an option where if he doesn't think he can get the throw off. You know, if the ball is kicked and he doesn't have a chance. Deshaun actually, I'm bouncing around. He does have an option if he can't get his feet set to throw it. But he's not responsible to check things out and then throw it. It happens too fast. He actually did a fantastic job. I mean, he set that thing up. There was one guy to take the play away, and he took it away. Like I said, we had a busted assignment on it. And we just, you know, we're folding a lot of times with four aces and leaving a lot of money on the table because we've had some opportunities to make these plays, and we have not. And that lies on the coach. You know, I'm responsible for getting them smart enough, sharp enough, crisp enough, intense enough, focused enough.
That because Deshaun has struggled so much returning punts. I mean, he's running backwards so often. And, is that why something of that nature is called?
Well, I wouldn't pin it on Deshaun, but we certainly would like to make something happen in a game, and we would like to. We knew it was going to be a tough game. You know, we knew it was going to be a physically tough game. That's a team put together for physicality and, you know, I don't know if it's a Parcell, but, you know, there's big guys, fast guys on that team. And we knew it was going to be a physical game. And it's good to hit some big plays. It's good to get a lead. It's good to have our defensive line rushing the passer. You know, we're in pretty good shape when that happens. So we wanted to make a big play. So I would say that would be it. That would be it.
Is that your call, Bobby, or is that Andy's call?
Ultimately, every call that's of an aberration, if that's the right word, is the head coach's call. I suggest the call. I let him know that we'll get it executed. Don't worry about this throwback now. We'll get this. You ain't got to worry about nothing. I mean, we're going to hit it, and then we're going to hit a home run. We're going to throw it over there. We're going to block them properly and get the extra point team ready, Andy. And then, of course, we fumbled. But so, you know, he got every encouragement from me because I can't say, yeah, that's my call. None of those kind of plays are when you're dealing with that kind of situation, an onside kick. A fake, anything, it's protocol to clear it through the head coach. I think by everybody, but certainly by he and myself.
Why Deshaun, why he's had struggling returning punts this year?
It's hard to put the finger on that. You know, there's a lot of things. I've said there's a magic to making that right exact. You know, do you return it right? Do you return it left? Where they're most vulnerable, I got to try to find having the right matchups so we don't have a slow guy trying to block a guy that he can't, you know, he can't block him. So why don't you just rush the punter? I got to devise something a little better so he's got a little more space. He's got a little more room to get up the field. I got nothing of negative on his end. I got to get the return team going better, that's all. I mean, our returns on the kickoff return and the punt return are not very good, so consequently, we're not increasing the probability of offensive success. Consequently, we're not increasing the probability of winning success, and I'm responsible for those two areas to increase that probability, and we haven't. So it's, you know, it's frustrating and discouraging, but I really look forward to, I don't look forward to a lot of kickoff returns because that means the other team's scoring a lot, but you can't wait to get back out there when you can't wait to get back out there when you make a mistake, and I hope that's the way the players feel. At least I've encouraged them to feel that way.
Well, Jarrett's been playing special teams for better part of the season now. He hasn't made a lot of tackles. I mean, is there a reason why he's not making a lot of plays right now? What are you seeing from him on special teams?
Well, we've talked about this at one other time because certainly, you know, he's a second-round pick and he's from Temple. People know him and are always looking for him to show up. We've played him in a position of responsibility a little bit more. And for him to carry out that responsibility doesn't always allow him the greatest access to the ball. That's what I would say about why he's not showing up in kick coverage. He's not showing up in punt coverage because we don't have him on the punt team. Maybe he should be. But initially, I trained him to play the fullback position, or often called the personal protector, where he makes the calls. And he sets the stage and he sets the protection and then he runs down the middle. Kirk Coleman plays that, and allowing for Kirk to stay at that position. I think Kirk's one of the best at doing that I've been around. He really is good at it. And I probably, for Jaquan, should have had enough foresight to say, you know, let's not use him there. Let's use him at wing or somewhere else. And so that one would be on me on the punt team. And then when he's blocking, he does a good job of blocking on the returns. Nobody notices that unless, you know, his family's watching.
How did Tom Nelson do?
He did good. He had a little bit of a learning experience. You know, we punted 10 times. So he got a lot of reps at Gunner, and he got better as we went. His first couple, of course, he hadn't played, and when he did play, he played that same position I was just talking about for Cincinnati, the position Kirk Coleman plays. So we put him out there at Gunner, and he did good. He was scrappy. He was exactly what you want, you know. You really want, you know, that tough guy, you know, that guy like Bednarik would be proud of, you know, that kind of guy. And that's how he played. He was scrappy. Tough young scrapper. Thank you.
Well, always brief, Bobby April addressing the media, special teams coordinator, and has a lot of good things to say about his group. Number one in the NFL in kickoff coverage, the young kickers, Alex Henry and Chaz Henry, really doing a nice job. Where the Eagles need to be better, as Coach April said, in the return game. So we tried to shake things up last week with that throwback. Didn't work. Eagles defense came to the rescue, and that's probably something that the biggest difference in this team. Last week, Eagles turned the ball over. The defense steps up and takes the momentum right back. And that's just not happened enough this year. So that's a good sign that it happened Sunday in Miami. It's Coordinators Day here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're going to take another look in the auditorium there. We have an interview we want to throw to, but I don't think it's going to work because I think Juan and Marty will be along shortly. Let's take a little look at the media. First, Tim, give me a zoom of Henry Clay there, please. Back right there, straight ahead to your right. He's gone? Is Tim not with us? Tim? Sam, I thought we told Tim to stay on the headset. What's going on here? I just want to see guys absolutely bored out of their skulls. The media. This is your hard-earned media work. Guys just lounge around. It's really quite a great job. Where is Tim? Yeah, exactly. I love doing this. I mean, if people put a camera on me during when they're not, that there's no show, you'd see me taking a 20-minute nap every day. I'm not afraid to admit it. I'm an old guy. I need the break. Oh, there's Henry getting some. Zoom in on Henry right there. Straight ahead to your right. Yep. Nope, to your right. Yep. Zoom, 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 zoom. He just looks pretty awake. Wave to the crowd, Henry. That's Henry Clay, legendary radio guy. Wave. Wave, Henry. He's a legend. Love him. Now zoom up a little bit to the front there, to the front. Let's see what we got here. I can't tell who that is. Ryan Messick up there. What's going on up there? John Tamari whispering sweet nothings to somebody. Jeff McLean. Let's go to the right of him. That's Jeff McLean. That's Jeff Mosher, who's leaning back now. All right, so scroll over to your left. That might be Tim McManus over there. Guys with their feet up. Who's that? Whoop, 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 whoop. Not too fast. No, go back, go back, go back, go back. Who's that? Can't tell. That might be Jack McCaffrey. I don't know. Who is that? Can't tell. Maybe it is. Okay. And then that's Kevin Callahan. Excellent basketball player, Kevin Callahan. Wide shoulders, you see that? Can't tell who that is. Chris McPherson up there. And Bo Wolf maybe right next to him. And Tom Moore. Will Chris McPherson give a turnaround and a shout-out? Steve in Alabama joins us. Hey, Ace Tim, tell Chris to say shout-out. Wave to the fans. Steve in Alabama joins us in the meantime. Hey, Steve. Let's see how long it takes Chris McPherson to give us a shout. Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
Man, I'm good, man. Just
there
know,
he is.
I'm ready to get pumped for this next game, and I want to see the Eagles with some consistency, man. I want to see him take it to the Jets.
Yeah. Gotcha. You're not really thinking about the playoffs, though, are you?
Look, man. Look, you play the season to get in the playoffs to win the Super Bowl, and I know that, you know, we haven't had a good year. But look, if you can sneak in the playoffs, let's sneak in the playoffs and let's try and go for it. You got to do it, man. That's what you play to get in.
I agree.
So, I mean, I hope the Bucks win. I mean, it's a long shot. But the Bucks just, man, they just seem like they giving up, man. They got punished. They got beat so bad by the Jacksonville Jaguars, man.
It really, Steve, the Bucks are a great example of how quickly things can turn in the NFL. A year ago, they were, I think they won 10 games last year. Everybody's talking about Raheem Morris as this bright, up-and-coming next coach, doing a great job. And now, all of a sudden, they've lost 7 straight games, and there was a report that he was almost fired on Monday. But the Bucks don't have enough coaches to compensate. So it's really hard to win in the league, and it really turns around quickly. And I'll tell you, I really trace everything back to one position, and I think we all agree with this. If your quarterback's playing well, you're winning football games. Would you agree with that?
Right. So I totally agree. And I think Michael Vick, hopefully he'll have a better game. Because I think he kind of worked out the kinks a little bit in Miami.
He's just got to stop two things. Getting his passes knocked down at the line of scrimmage and turning the football over. And, of course, he can't keep taking these hits that he's taking and missing practice time. He can't keep missing practice time.
Yeah. I mean, it was a couple of times where, I mean, started running, but he didn't get down, did he, Dave?
He did not get down. I don't think there was – I watched that pretty closely. There weren't times when he really had a lot of opportunity to get down. I didn't really see that.
He was getting away. He was trying to keep the play alive. Yeah.
Yep.
Like I said, I am thinking about the playoffs. I mean, it was a point in time, I'll be honest. I was just like, well, I guess we're done, so we need to go ahead and get and jockey our position for...
Steve, give me a quick prediction. Marty's on the way.
Prediction, I'm going to go 31-28.
Thank you. See ya. Here's Marty.
Really good things. And then we did some things that that hurt us, especially in the second half. Really, in big picture, I thought we played pretty good first half offensively. And then we didn't execute quite as well in the second half. Early in the first half, we ran the ball several times pretty well, and we hit some big plays. And in the second half, we just didn't do much of anything. So we've got to get better, and the players are working hard and diligent, and they're preparing hard for the New York Jets. So we'll get to the Jets. These guys are excellent scheme, excellent personnel. They lost one of their safeties, and it appears on film that he was directing much of it back there. They've got two of the very best corners that you'll see in this league. Tandem-wise, maybe the very best. Schematically, they base out of a three down with four linebackers, and they play an awful lot of sub-defense, so we'll certainly see that. They have an unusual high amount of personnel groups, and they try to confuse their opponent that way, and they do a good job that way. We'll open up to questions.
Why do you think consistency has been such a problem here? I mean, you had 24 points in like less than 10 minutes, minutes and 50 seconds, and then nothing else.
Yeah, you're right. I sure would like a game to go a little bit more consistent than that. Football games do go that way sometimes. But you're right. I would certainly want to see more consistency, because we certainly had some opportunities, and we just didn't take advantage of it. And some of that you do give credit to the Dolphins there. The Dolphins are good, very good defense, you know. So I was proud of what we did in the first half, and we've got to get better than we played there in the second half.
Marty, and how they play, how does Rex's defense differ from Rob Ryan's?
Rob and Rex. Well, and Miami, you know, Baltimore, Connecticut, all that stuff. So it's, all three are very similar in structure. However, every individual that runs it goes his own way just a little bit due to personnel, due to just their own philosophy. But it's all based out of the same thing. So very similar. They each do quite a few different things than each other as well, within the same sort of schematic base, I would say. Yeah.
Is Mike going to practice today, Mike Vick?
Well, he went through walkthrough, and I'd expect him to practice unless something changes here.
Do you expect him to play? I mean, you expect him to practice and play and everything?
Yeah, I expect him to play. I expect him to play about 4 weeks ago too. So you can take that for what it's worth. I always expect them to play. Our players do everything they can do, mentally, physically, preparation-wise, to where they're going to play the next ball game. And that way, if they're ready, they're prepared. And if they're not, it's good for them for the next week anyways. So. Where are we at here?
Pinpoint the McCoy's 38 yards and 27 carries. What the issue was there? Was it a combination of blocking and maybe – not hitting some of
those holes? Yeah, you're right there. Mm-hmm. Looked at all that closely.
How about with Mike getting hit a decent amount? It seems like when Vince was in there and he wasn't getting hit quite as much, so is that just a matter of style of play, the offensive line doing something different?
A combination of things. Mike's style is a little bit different there. Yeah, sure. That's certainly part of it. Excuse me there. It's going to be the death of me, you know? I get him protecting himself just a little bit better. He plays with a style where he takes a lot of hits. And I do think he's gotten better. Okay. But not nearly as good as he needs to be for, first of all, for the best interest of the team, and secondly, for the best interest of him. You know, so Dylan, he's working on that.
Is it realistic, though? I mean, it's not just Michael Vick, Cole McCoy. I mean, you can go down the list. Is it realistic in the NFL to think that you're going to keep a quarterback out of that peril for a season?
Well, that's a good point, and there's several things that come to mind there. The style of football that your offensive team plays, the style of football that your quarterback has, the amount of times that you take a calculated risk, and you have to do that in this league. You've got to take some of those, or you're just not going to have much offense at all with the way defenses are playing, especially nowadays. So you take all of that into account. Certainly some styles of offense are a little bit better, okay, to keep hits. Some styles of quarterback play a little bit different. I'll give you, for instance, a running team. You know, their quarterback doesn't take as many hits, but typically those teams there's always exceptions, may not score quite as many points. You know, they shorten the game doing that typically. Not always, but usually.
Rex Ryan said that yesterday that LeSean McCoy has been embarrassing people in the sense of the way he can get out of, you know, it looks like he's going to be tackled and he can break free. Has he exceeded your expectations, or when he came in here, when he was drafted, you say this guy can be what he is today?
Oh, I really didn't put the thought in much into, you know, that. I do remember him coming out, and he came out with an awful lot of very good backs. And I liked them all very much, but I remember I liked him the best for us. And I just thought he was dynamic, his change of direction, the way he catches the football, the way he makes people miss, these sort of things. I thought he was just a dynamic type player. So, yeah, I didn't put much thought into what he could be. I just, you know, so it certainly doesn't surprise me that he's had this type of year and this type of career so far.
Mike's had a lot of tipped balls turn into interceptions, but he still has 12, which matches his touchdowns. Is this getting frustrating? I mean, it seems like, you know, obviously every week there's a turnover, and you guys are trying to limit that, and that's holding back your offense a little bit. How are you working with that on there with him?
Well, we don't get frustrated. If there's a problem, first of all, you got to admit it. Otherwise, you can't fix it. You admit it, and you find the solution, you correct it, and you move on as fast as you can. And things happen quick here, you know. So that's how we go about our business. So if you get frustrated at something, it does absolutely no good. In fact, it's probably counterproductive because you're working on correcting the problem. And so, it's a little bit cyclic there. Some quarterbacks have, you know, look, there's big guys that have a tendency to get balls tipped. There's shorter guys who rarely get the ball tipped, you know, so it goes, you know, throwing in lanes for a quarterback, you know, sliding or moving or pushing an angle to get the football, get it out on time. Because some of these down linemen, they're getting so good nowadays. Man, they'll read as they're pass rushing, they'll feel that quarterback. That quarterback pulls up, man, and they can't get there. And if you're not right on time, and they're timing that thing up and jumping and trying to get some tips, you know, hands down, and they come in all different screens. We've had more than a couple of screens that have been tipped. Now that's a quarterback's responsibility there. And so, it has been cumulative this year. It's not coming from one sort of thing. There's been times in the past where we've had three balls tipped in a game, and all came from one thing. Excuse me again. You get that thing fixed real quick. So we're working. We're working hard at that.
Is there anything outside of just practicing at a fast tempo and trying to simulate a real game in practice that you can do to work on not turning the ball over or forcing throws? Is some of that also classroom that's not happening right there, or is it again?
Well, sure. We had one last week, and it was just those just can't happen. Offensively, we had one. Yeah, and we overcame a lot of things. You know, we overcame a
you know, block punt early. You know, we had an interception at one point there. So, yeah, and then the punt return thing. So those are, we're taking some calculated risks on a couple of those things. But so we overcame a lot. I was proud of the fellas overcoming it. But you're talking about turnovers. Typically, with my experience, you emphasize it, you drill it. Those specific reasons that are happening, you drill those type of things as an individual, as a group, and as a unit. You put a big emphasis on it, like I said, and then these guys are proud men. You know, they're proud football players, and they want to take care of the football, and usually get results, and the results have been fair so far. So we're doing everything we can as far as working on that and preparing and. Getting back to my main point, there has been some unusual ones, some that happen once in a blue moon, once every 3 or 4 years, and when those types occur, it happens once every blue moon, let's move on. Well, a whole host of those happened to us, especially early in the year, so I certainly put an awful lot of thought into that, but it was one of those years up to date that way.
Last year had 25, led the league. Now he's an MVP candidate. You just feel like Mike's snake bit a little bit.
Mike, in his past history and last year, you know, with us, he's typically done a good job taking care of the ball. Where I get a little emphasis almost every week, and again, it depends on the pass rushers, is his ball security in the pocket, only because of his past history that I've studied. But passing the ball in his past and with us up till this year, he has done a nice job of that. And I haven't studied Eli as far as that specific thing, so I can't correlate that.
Marty, is it possible to defend DeSean Jackson one-on-one, even with a talent like Revis?
Well, I'll tell you, look. Yeah, DeSean is a dynamite player. He's dynamic. He's very difficult to cover one-on-one. I'm thinking back here. I think these two guys are great, great corners that we're going to be facing. Deion Sanders was one guy that could cover just about anybody one-on-one. And these guys are very, very good. I mean, they're in that category. So, got... great confidence in DeSean, though, you know.
Has it ever happened with DeSean? Has he ever been locked up one-on-one for an entire game?
Oh, for an entire game? One-on-one? Oh, no. All right.
Well, there you go. That is Marty Morningweg, and he expects Michael Vick to practice today and play on Sunday. And kind of toward the end there, interesting, the reporter, to me, wanted to get a quote out from Marty saying, yeah, no, you can't cover him one-on-one. I think Marty did a very good job avoiding that. And that's all you need to do is get it up in Darrell Revis's head that nobody can cover DeSean Jackson one-on-one. So good job to Marty Morningweg for avoiding that kind of bulletin board material. We've heard from Bobby April. We've heard from Marty Morningweg. We'll hear from Juan Castillo in just a moment. We'll shortly call a great Eagles fan who won our Eagles Holiday Memory Contest. He's the grand prize winner. And we had a lot of submissions. Eagles fans submitting their greatest holiday memory. So we'll get to that in a moment. Let's take a quick phone call here on Eagles Live. We also have Adam Kaplan coming in. Kent in Florida joins us. Hi, Kent.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm fine, Kent. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm disappointed with how it's gone so far, but I think it's understandable because the Eagles always never played their best ball until November and December before, and they lost so much with the negotiations with the NFL, they just didn't have time to hit their pace.
They've got to be better than this. This routine of losing early and having to win out, it's caught up with them here.
And they had a whole new coaching staff, whole new scheme and everything. So, it was tough.
Yeah.
But, I'll hang with them till when they're it doesn't do it this year, we'll get them next year.
Well, thank you very much. Kent.
But I had couple comments.
Yes, sir.
Okay. One was a question you might pass on to Andy Reid.
Okay.
Is would he consider sending Vic down here to spring training in Florida with the Phillies to see if somebody can teach him how to slide?
Well, there's no doubt he's got to do something like that.
Yeah, and the other one was from watching when we got waxed by New England. Belichick's a very ingenious guy, and his two tight end thing with two wide receivers is very effective against everybody. It certainly was against us. And with guys like our two tight ends, I think our two wide receivers are better going downfield than anything New England has, and our third and fourth receivers I think are better than New England. So I'm just curious whether or not Mornhenry would consider using something like that.
Well,
I guess the only question is, can Vic process what's going on the way Brady can?
Well, give me a prediction for the game real quick before we...
24-14.
Okay, so let me answer your questions. The sliding thing, we've talked about this. Yes, Michael Vick needs to slide.
Yeah.
No question about it. However it's done in the offseason slide. And it really is a mentality of it. It's slowing up when you see traffic and getting down rather than trying to juke and make them miss you. As far as the tight ends, I mean, the Eagles do at times have a two tight end set. They move Celek and they move Harbor and they put him out at wide receiver and they run that. And it's just that in New England, you know, they clear out with Welker.
Yep.
And then they run Gronkowski underneath, and Gronkowski is a beast. And Hernandez is a really athletic guy as well. And I'm not, you know, look, the Brady thing, Brady's at a different level than most quarterbacks. Nothing against Michael Vick, but Brady's just a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous player who is an all-time guy.
That's right.
So I don't know if I could put Vick in that category right now.
Yeah. All right. Just a thought.
Okay. Thanks, Kent.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Happy holidays to you and yours. And, yeah, it's a great question. And listen, every team borrows and steals and copies just a little bit from other teams when things work. And that's working so well for the New England Patriots. Now we'll see how it works in the playoffs. They're difficult matchups, Gronkowski and Hernandez. Hernandez really isn't a giant guy. He's 6'1". Gronkowski is just a different level of athlete. 6'7". And all that speed and all that physicality, and he just is not someone who goes down easily. And I see that even a little bit with Brent Celek, although he's not quite as athletic as Gronkowski. Patrick in Virginia, welcome to the show, Patrick.
Thank you, Dave. How's it going?
It's going well today. How are you?
I'm doing good. Looking forward to Sunday. I think we got to establish the run.
Hey, Patrick,
off the bat.
Can you hang on for a bit?
Juan's coming up. Yeah.
You want to hold on?
Yeah, go.
All right, got Juan Castillo up the podium.
So, this week been easier for you coming off of that tremendous effort Sunday?
You know what, Les? It was awesome Sunday. Sunday after the game, you know, to see all the guys excited and really, you know, they worked hard and to get rewarded like that. But, you know, really, once Monday morning came around, you know, we've been looking at Jets and the Jets look good. You know, they're a good football team, so we're preparing for them.
Well, do you think you played the most physical game defensively of the year Sunday?
I thought we played well. I think we've had some other games that we've played physical like that. The thing is to be consistent and do that every week.
You had just come off games. You gave up a lot of points to New England, a lot of points to Seattle, and then you came out, obviously had a big game against Miami. What do you think happened in that interim there?
Well, you know what? It's nice to have Nam and Dominique back, you know. I mean, those guys, you know, they're good football players, and it was nice to have them back, you know, and they made a difference. You know, I know we had a few sacks. And I think, you know, we've talked about sacks, you know, that part of quarterback getting sacked is the coverage, the tight coverage. And I think that, you know, together, D-line played a great game. The secondary did a good job, and the linebackers did a good job of playing tight coverage so that the quarterback could hold the ball.
A lot more blitzing in this game. Was that a game plan specific one, or was that just more the evolution of this defense now that you get more comfortable? You can throw.
I think just in time, too, you know, for, you know, the thing is with how much time we've had, you know, and even Jim being new and everybody understanding what we do, you know, we've added a little bit here and a little bit there, you know, in the coverage part and the blitz part, you know, really almost every week.
The Jets have been very efficient in the red zone. What do they do so well down there?
You know what, they have good players, you know, that 17, you know, I mean, we all know 17, you know, we know Plexico from the Giant days. You remember when, you know, Eli get in trouble and he just throw it up. In 17, Red Merrill, he come down. I mean, how many times did he hurt us, you know? So, you know, now he's playing for the Jets. He's doing the same thing. And Holmes, you know, I mean, I think he won a Super Bowl game in the end zone, you know, a couple years ago. You know, so, I mean, those guys are special. And the tight end is pretty good. And they have really good backs. And then they have a couple other receivers. You know, 88 is a big, tall target. So they have a lot of weapons down there.
Able to run it as well as they do, doesn't that help you a lot in the red zone to be consistent?
Well, you know, they try to run it. You know, they're a physical smash-mouth football team, and, you know, that's what, you know, Rex talks about, and that's the challenge for us. You know, our guys know that for us to be able to do that, it's just like everything else. We have to stop the run and get them to throw the football.
Another guy who broke up a couple passes against Miami, but he had a couple of tough weeks before that. Why do you think consistency has been such a tough thing for him this year?
I think part of that, John, is just growing, you know, and just learning and experiencing things on the field. I mean, you figure, you know, when I look at Nam and Asante, you know, they're able to talk the game and do a good job. Well, think about how many years they've been going. You know, I had a question for Nam that was interesting. You know, I asked him about this guy that he worked with, and he said, Juan, you know what? I can't tell anything about him because that was my first couple of years. I really didn't know anything. You know, and you know what? And that just sets everything in perspective. You know, now here's a guy that's been playing now and that understands the game. But he said, well, I can't tell you anything about this guy, you know, that was the coordinator because, you know, really, I was young. I didn't really know much. You know, and coming from a guy like that, it's, you know, something that we know and we understand is you get that knowledge through experience. I mean, you could draw things up on the board and all those kind of things, but you have to experience it.
Given that one, and you know a lot of young players yourself on this team, so if it's their first couple of years, is it fair to assume that they might be having the same trouble now that Namdi did back when he was a rookie?
Well, I think, you know, they're young and they're getting better and better, but I think the experience helps them. You know, helps them get better, and I think that'll help them be more consistent, you know, as they see certain things, certain linebackers, blocking schemes, you know, and then just being able to recognize the difference between a, you know, a naked and a run is crucial. It'll be crucial this week with the Jets. You know, more. Go ahead. So, I'm sorry, ma'am.
I was going to say, do you expect to have Colin Jenkins back?
You know, that's something probably you'd have to ask Coach Reed about, Merrill. I'm not, you know, it's, you know.
Matthews.
You know what? He was solid. He had some really good plays. You know, he had a sack. He did well in covering his coverage. You know, just like everybody else, you know, there's some things I got to do a better job with him, putting him in positions. You know, they came out a series and they were running the ball, and I thought they were going to throw it. So I didn't put him in a very good position. I have to do a better job with that.
Like they were running on your nickel in the second half.
Yes.
What can you do about that?
Well, you know, it just coverages, Les. You know, I mean, when you're playing two shell because you think they're going to throw the football, you know, I mean, shoot, they better be able to run it. But, you know, at that point, we were ahead. So, you know, I ended up playing a little two shell, you know, and I have to do a better job with that, mixing some single safety stuff in there.
He played a lot. I mean, he played, I think, more than Jamar did. Was that just because you guys had the lead and you're going nickel, or are you trying to get him in there even more than your other
guys? You know, John, what it was just because of the package. You know, it was that, you know, we were ahead and what they were playing, and then, you know, in a certain personnel that we used base and nickel, well, what they were doing is they were throwing the football more from that personnel, so we ended up using that package a little more.
So is he further along in terms of pass defense than he is against the run?
Well, you know what? I think you can probably say that for any young linebacker. You know, the hardest thing, and I imagine now think about this. How much do you weigh?
175.
All right, now imagine you going up against somebody, let's say, let's put it right, you know, because Casey's about 240. Offensive linemen are about 300, you know. So, but, you know, imagine you going up against somebody 60 pounds heavier than you, and you got to take them on, and not just take them on, but you got to shed them and then make the tackle. Well, you know what? That's not easy, so it's something that has to be learned. I mean, something that has to be taught. And then it takes time. It's a muscle memory deal, so it's a continual growing thing every week. And there's guys, you watch tape, there's guys that still haven't learned it. You know, so that's something that will just keep growing, and he'll get better and better and better. But that's tough for a linebacker.
Your defensive line was so tenacious in that game. It was probably their best game, right, as a line?
You know, yeah, and, you know, I think they tallied, I think, 6 or 7 sacks. I think 2 were from the linebackers, I think 7 were from them. Yeah, they, you know what, they play hard, Les, you know. But, I want to say it's a team deal, too, you know, because, you know, when you go and you look, and if a quarterback's throwing it on 5 plant and 5 hitch, you know, Peyton Manning or some of those guys, I don't care what rush you get, they're not getting there. So then what happens is, it's the coverage part that has to get him to hold it to 2 hitches. And you say, well, why do you make such a big deal about it, Juan? Because it's a team. You know, it's like the back end has to know, too, that, hey, wait a minute. When the quarterback is throwing 5 plant or 5 hitch and the D-line's not getting there, well, it's not the D-line's fault. Hey, you guys in the back end, you better take care of that. You better make the plays or get them to hold it, Merrill, you know, so that the D-line can get there. And really the good D-lines, all right, the quarterback hitches twice, you're going to hit them or you're going to sack them. That's the, you know, those are the good, great D-lines. You know, so it's not something that you're saying. It's just something that, you know, being on the other side of the ball, I understand that. And then everybody knows that they have a responsibility, Les, and so we work together.
Watched fights last week, boxing?
You have to ask Coach Reed about that, you know.
He thinks that he might not play this year, that maybe you guys want to protect him, prevent him from more injury. Is that the case? Are you worried about getting him re-injured and maybe...
You know what? I think the injury part, John, you have to talk to Coach Reed about that. You know, and I know he's out there, and I know he's going to work hard today and get prepared to play.
Playing the most that he's played this season. What has he done so well?
You know what? He's done a great job in practice. You know, that's where, you know, we saw him work against Todd Harriman and Jason Peters, and those are two of the best tackles in the NFL. So, you know, watching him go against those guys, we felt that, you know, God, man, this guy, you know, I mean, he's got something, you know. Coach Washburn likes him a lot, and Coach Reed, watching him go against those guys all the time, said, you know what, this guy's got a little something to him. Let's see what he's got. And he did a good job.
When you see Brad there, does he look like he's in game shape?
Well, you know, again, you have to look at the kind of injury that he had, you know, and go back into the history. And, you know, I think Coach Reed talks about that, you know, and Rick, and they're better qualified to talk about that. You know, I just know that Rick talks to me about that. Coaches mentioned to me about that kind of injury, but you'll have to talk to those guys about that.
Learning the defense, has he been able to pick everything up? I mean, not having training camp.
You know what, that's the hard part because, you know, you see that, you know, it is different alignments, different landmarks, and that takes a little bit of time. I think you see our guys, you know, there was a play on tape where at the beginning of the season, you know, they got us with that play, and now Miami tried to run the same play, and it was a negative play, you know, just because of the fundamentals. You know, where Brandon right now, he's not as far along as the other guys because he hadn't been able to work.
Okay, so that is Juan Castillo talking defense. And, yeah, he's glad to have Nnamdi Asamoah back and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. All right, let's get back to the telephone here real quickly. Patrick, you're still with us from Virginia.
Yeah, just go off what everything Juan was talting about. For me, this game is really important for Juan because I really haven't seen the defense come out and perform back-to-back dominating performances,
exactly.
Maybe with the exception of Redskins Cowboys.
Exactly. Well, and there was a bye week in between there, so
true.
I agree. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for some semblance of consistency in terms of the intensity and the focus of this football team. I want to see an urgent, hungry team. I don't care about the fans booing or whatever they're going to, you know, I mean, this has been talk all week here in Philadelphia. Eagles need to win a home game. They've lost 8 of 9. I want the Eagles to feed off themselves. I want them to give the fans a reason to cheer here early in the game, get people going.
Amen. Yeah, I agree. 8 out of the last 9 losses at home is more beyond the, unacceptable. But Juan says the right things at the podium a lot. Talking about how, I mean, I want to see if defense is going to play good, I personally believe it's because the defensive line is dominating and the linebackers aren't messing up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, the scheme is starting to come together here. It's just taken 3 quarters of the season for it to happen, to get everybody. But I really think the Jets game is the perfect kind of test. They're a balanced team. They do a lot of play action. They can really be devastating with the running game. They're physical, and I want to see the Eagles match that punch in the jaw mentality that the Jets give you. Patrick, give me a quick prediction, please.
Let's go 20. No, let's go 31-17 Eagles.
Okay. Hey, Patrick, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you next week. All right, let's take a little break here. When we return, we talk to a special Eagles fan who's won a contest. And he'll tell you about a special, special holiday memory that he has. Coming right back on Eagles Live.
Can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shifts the planes, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Eagles fans, this is guard Evan Mathis. I wanted to wish you all a very happy holidays. Bah humbug.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
This bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy.
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble.
And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
We welcome you back to Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you. You know, the Eagles on the official Facebook page, more than 1.5 million fans. Way more than 1.5 million fans. like the Philadelphia Eagles. We're proud of that. We've got a great social media department here, and we ran a contest recently. Give us your favorite holiday memory, and hundreds of Eagles fans submitted their favorite holiday memories, and we've got our grand prize winner on the line. His name is Chris Steers. He's from Atco, New Jersey. And Chris, congratulations to you. Tell me about your history, not about the holiday memory, because we're going to get into that, and it's a great one, but your history as an Eagles fan. Lifelong obsession?
Yeah, definitely lifelong obsession. A buddy of mine has 7 or 8 season tickets, so I've been to many, many games over the past 11, 12 years.
Awesome.
So huge, huge Eagles fan.
Awesome. So your greatest holiday memory is one that I read it and I was moved by it. Tell the story. You're 12 years old and you're out during the holidays, Christmas caroling.
Yeah, it was at a cousin of mine and I were at a holiday party at my aunt and uncle's house in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, in a development over there called Society Hill. And we decided to go out and sing some Christmas carols. You know, we were trying to make a couple bucks and go out and sing some songs for some people. So we went out, and we just happened to knock on a door, and Jerome Brown answered the door. And it was amazing. I couldn't believe that it was him. I immediately recognized him. But, you know, we sang him a couple songs, and he was really, really kind and awesome to us. He was really enthused about us, you know, singing these Christmas carols to him. And, you know, neither of us could sing at all. You know, we were singing badly, basically. But he didn't care at all. He was so nice to us, welcomed us into his home, and it was just a great experience. He was a great guy.
The year was 1987. Jerome was, I knew Jerome very well. Amazing how really a boyish enthusiasm he had, Chris. I'm sure he could relate to you at age 12. He was just a big kid.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'll never forget his smile. I mean, he was just the nicest person. You know, on top of that, I mean, he gave us each a brand new crisp $20 bill
well done.
For singing. And, you know, I asked him for his autograph, and he went ahead and invited us in and grabbed something to write on. And this part of the story also always amazed me. You know, he grabbed an envelope that was addressed to him, had his address on it and everything, and he wrote the autograph on there and gave it to me. I mean, he basically gave me his address, you know. You know, not that I ever went and visited him or did anything, but, you know, I just always found that to be amazing. He was just so nice and kind and, you know, welcoming.
Isn't it remarkable, Chris, when you meet, in your case, at age 12, an athlete, professional athlete, the impact that it can have for the rest of your life?
Yeah, I mean, it's something I'll never, ever forget, and I remember it like it was yesterday. You know, I'm 36 years old now, and, you know, it's just something that I'll never, ever, ever forget. It really does touch you. You know, it's an emotional thing to me, obviously, with what happened to Jerome and how he was taken away from us so early and way too soon. You know, it's really, to me, a really personal, deep, emotional story. I mean, it really is.
Well, hey, we thank you for the story, for being a great Eagles fan. Congratulations on being the grand prize winner. And believe me, there were hundreds of submissions, and yours stood out. And again, congratulations, Chris.
It's great. Thanks so much, Dave. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks so much, Chris. Happy holidays to you and yours. And thanks for joining us here on Eagles Live.
Thanks, Dave.
All right. Chris Steers, the grand prize winner of our favorite Eagles Holiday Memory Contest, favorite holiday memory, and great job from him. Great job from all of the Eagles fans who participated. We thank you very much in that, and look for more promotions throughout our social media world, throughout all of our platforms here, PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Our mobile devices, our social strategy is outstanding. Our Facebook page, Twitter followers, it's all good. We thank you so much for your support. We're coming right back here on Eagles Live in the studio. Our next guest, Adam Kaplan, our football insider, breaking down the New York Jets. Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Are you?
Yeah. In about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why?
Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life. Retirement isn't the finish line. Where are you going? Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
The official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
Welcome into the studio, Dave Spadaro, joined by our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan. Happy holidays to you, Adam.
Same to you, sir.
And hey, a big win yesterday, or last week in Miami. What'd you take away from that win?
What did I take away from that win? The defense really got it going. I think they take that confidence out of that game. There's no question. That's what you took out of it. Offensively, they've got to get it together a little bit. I think, and the challenge this week is we will get into Mr. Dave Spadaro of PhiladelphiaEagles.com. That's what we'll get into
yeah.
today.
Hey, you know what? I want to tell you, I am so impressed by, over the course of the year here, the pairing of Babin and Trent Cole, and I wrote about it the other day. And, you know, for years, Eagles have been really looking for that other pass rushing option. And I know Babin, by the nature of his position, is probably not as effective against the run as you'd like him to be, but the effort is there. The tenacity is there, and 15 sacks is impressive.
Yeah, I know people are trying to poke holes in these sacks, saying that they're empty sacks.
They're not empty sacks.
People, first of all,
people are brutal, aren't they?
It's remember when Mike Schmidt, they would say, oh, well, you know, he would hit them when they didn't count. And,
right.
I mean, people, it's funny. You don't just get 15 sacks by just standing up. I mean, you got to work for him. And I called him a system specialist when they signed him. That he's here for a specific system. He's going to do well in it. You know, he did 11 and a half.
Do you think he
sacks.
Can only play well in this system as a wide nine
It's a
guy?
Great question, because that's what people question when he's not playing in this system and playing in a traditional 4-3-N. Maybe not, because as he said when I asked him at training camp, he said one of the reasons why he wanted to come here is he knew that he wouldn't have to play one-on-one, head up, against a tackle who's much bigger than him, outweighs him by 50 or 60 pounds. I get that part of it, and by being able to play wide most of the time, it gives him a running start. When a guy's as fast off the edge as he is, how's a lineman going to stop him most of the time? It's not going to happen. So I'm not surprised at this. I remember I was asked over under 11.5 sacks to set over, because he's great at this system. He's just really good at it. And I remember John Thornton of the formerly of the Titans and Bengals telling me, you got to understand, we were told not to play the run. We play the run on the way to the quarterback. That's the way we're taught. So people want to criticize Babb for not playing the run. That's really not his job.
Adam, this defense, look, it's a week-by-week thing. We look at it. We look for growth. You know, by the way, I think on that play, no, not that play, an earlier play, Trent Cole was fined $15,000 for unbelievable. But do you see the potential of what this defense, with some tweaks, could be? This is the play right here. That could be. What it could when you, and we know that the personnel needs to be better, the coaches have to coach better. It's everybody sharing in it, but what it could be, Adam?
Yeah, because we see the development of Derek Landry, who's been just really helped them inside. You know, give them an inside rush, but is disrupted like you like. You see the rotation at end. If everyone's healthy, you know, right now they're actually going six deep. Now, of course, Tap, you know, it's not looking great, but we'll see. But yeah, you see that, and you saw on the back end. And Juan's talked about this all season. When the corners are able to hold up, I mean, or the pressure's there, You're not making these guys have to hold up for 7 or 8 seconds. When you're asking any corners to hold up that long, you're going to give it plays. I mean, I don't care who they are. So you're seeing the potential. Yeah, I think it's a good question. And we saw last week the speed of Casey Matthews, which we've been looking for. If you analyze this football team and this defense, you're looking for speed at linebacker and guys who could cover. Casey Matthews, if you use him, you know, in spots, it's going to be effective. I think we saw a little bit of that last week. Now we're seeing what kind of role he could have for this football team.
Adam, defensive end's interesting, and I'm going to kind of focus on two players. Brandon Graham, who, talking in the locker room yesterday, talking more about kind of, hey, when I get fully healthy, when I get there next year, I'm going to be this force to be reckoned with. I don't like that kind of talk. There's still
time
three
left
games.
In the season.
Yeah,
right.
There's still three games here.
Right.
Where do you see this kid progressing?
It's a good question. He probably is almost jealous to a point where these guys are doing so well. He's like, man, I want to be in there and helping, but he's got to earn his time. Right now, he's not kind of earning his
Why is he not earning his time?
It starts in practice. If I've learned anything covering the league, coaches have always told me,
it matters in practice.
Right.
Matters.
I'll say, well, why isn't he playing? He's like, have you been in practice? And if he doesn't show it in practice, he's not going to play. Or if he doesn't perform to our standard that we set, he doesn't play.
Yeah.
And they've got so many guys now, he's got to earn his time. You know, it's not like when they drafted him, oh, well, you know, he's going to be easily one of the top three ends because they just don't have enough guys. Well, mm-hmm. Now you've got 6 guys. Philip Hunt is coming on. We kind of knew at some point he might help, and he has. Now, here's the issue. Does he get it mentally? Does he understand, hey, I need to show up to OTAs in great shape? Or, you know, can't use the lockout excuse for ballooning. You can't have that. He's got to have a great offseason. It'll be almost 2 years removed from the knee injury. Then you'll see how much he can contribute. I don't know. I think the jury's out on this kid. Everybody knows who's followed this show and me on it and has read me over the years. I've really liked Brandon Graham as a talent, but he has not been the same since the knee injury. We're going to see. The jury is clearly out on this guy.
What's the defense's most critical focus against the Jets?
Stopping the run and making Mark Sanchez be a thrower. If you make him throw the ball over more than 30 times, I know he's great in the red zone. That's fine. Well, we'll see if they can get down to the red zone. If you make him throw, you're going to be in trouble.
Is it a good
matchup?
He makes
a lot of mellow errors.
Good matchup for the Eagles, not a good matchup?
If they stop the run, it's a fine matchup. Now, because Sanchez is a limited thrower, Santonio Holmes could beat you at any time because he's explosive. The thing is, because Sanchez, his accuracy is so random, you just don't know if he's going to be effective. Dustin Keller's a player at tight end. The Eagles have not done well, historically, against athletic tight ends. Overall, their numbers are they've done a better job against the tight ends, but if you break down against athletic tight ends, they seem to struggle a little bit. And Burse in the red zone, everybody knows what Burse has done against the Eagles. So,
yeah.
And they're just, I mean, the thing about, now you have to understand the reason why they're better in the red zone is because Sanchez will run it in. I think he's 7 rushing touchdowns. Sean Green now has become a major factor in the run game,
yeah,
which he had not been almost the entire season up to these last 3 or 4 weeks. In these last 2 weeks, he's been great.
Yep.
And their line, which is not great in run blocking, has been getting off the ball better, especially on the interior. I think the problem is Nick Mangold had this bad ankle injury, and he's finally getting over it. And the other thing is they're able to get a lead. They're able to protect the lead, and their schedule's been very nice so far. You know, the last couple weeks, they've had a pretty good schedule. And now,
Who did they play before the Colts?
Well, remember Buffalo, the game they really should have lost?
Right.
You know, they really should have lost it. If Stevie Johnson wouldn't have been a knucklehead, they would have probably lost that game.
Yeah.
So the fact of the matter is the Jets are playing well right now, and their defense is playing well. And as you'll see in tonight's Eagles Nightly, what they do on defense, I love it.
I want to talk about I think the matchup, the Eagles passing game against the Jets coverage scheme.
Difficult, man.
Is it because they certainly have the personnel, but is the scheme itself?
It's
Marty talked about it. They bring in a lot of personnel groupings and try to confuse you that way.
Yeah, and that it's the confusion, as you'll see tonight, confusion and deception. What you think you've seen on tape and what you think you see pre-snap is nothing like you'll get post-snap. They're the one team in the National Football League. Every week, the way that they bring their pressures and the way that they disguise is completely different. It's hard to get a read on what they're going to do. Expect the unexpected is probably the best phrase that you can use. It is so much fun. Greg Cosell, just watching him break this thing down. He loved it. You could see how excited he was because he knows that we all know that the coaches, Michael Vick, they're spending a lot of time. I don't think Vick will ever have to study this much trying to break down a defense because he has no idea what's going to come. And Aaron Maben, who couldn't play in this league, is a factor. 9 sacks. I mean, it's great.
Aaron Maben is a classic example to me of Every player is talented in this league,
right.
And you have to be in the right scheme, and you have to get good coaching. It has to be a good fit. Jason Babin, too. It has to be a good fit.
That's a great point. Right.
Every player is a good player here.
Everyone has talent, no matter what they do. You just have to find the right job, so to speak.
Yeah.
And sure.
Maybe Belichick does it all the time.
Right. I mean, you're saying, Belichick's using wide receivers at safety. Matthew Slater is playing at safety.
Yeah.
I mean,
Edelman's played cornerback.
Right. I mean, it's all about finding a niche. And you're starting to see that. I mean, he's got Mike DeVito. Nobody wanted. He's the starting defensive end. He's a great story. What they'll do with Revis is because everybody wants to know. I'm almost certain he'll cover DeSean Jackson. Now, will they pass him off a little bit? Because what Revis is going to do, he's going to try to get physical with him.
So he'll come up and try to press him?
Absolutely. That now I don't have the answer.
Do you move him?
I don't have
the
game plan.
No. Put him in motion? Eagles don't really put him in motion.
They don't,
that much.
But they have to. You have to adapt to the game plan too. Their tendency, if it's a speed guy who's not really big and physical, I think Revis will get physical with him. Now, and with Macklin, I don't know how much he could play. Dave, I mean, this is going to be an issue. So I'll tell you, and what they do is, and you see this with Revis, they play one scheme, and then they throw someone in right after the snap. You'll see when we break down Romo, Cosell shows you, Romo thinks he sees one coverage, and he makes the right throw. He doesn't see somebody come in late.
Yeah.
I mean,
so it's quick. You want to be quick.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think you got to get Celek and Yvonne involved. Get the ball out. 3 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're holding it 7 seconds, you're dead. You're dead. And that's actually one of the plays you'll see tonight when we show it. Revis against Dez Bryant. Very, very cool play.
Adam, do you believe that the Bucks have a chance to beat the Cowboys, or the Redskins have a chance to beat the Giants?
Yeah, a couple things there. Right now, one of their starting receivers, Aurelius Ben, for the Bucks, has got a concussion. He's in practice yet. Today is their last day of practice because they're playing on Saturday. They like Desmond Briscoe would be his replacement. We'll see what happens there. They're banged up on the defensive line. Josh Freeman's playing hurt. Tlaib's returning to the lineup this week. It's going to be – I think they can give him a game because Dallas is an underachieving team.
Mm-hmm.
They should be much better than their record. Mm-hmm. I absolutely give and because the Bucks could run the football with Blunt. And they are at home. They're playing for the coach. It's already been out that he's going to be fired.
Yeah.
Another coach that should have been. I mean, the ESPN report has him.
He was a coach
fired.
Of the year candidate last year.
It's crazy.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's a year to year league.
Redskins, Giants?
They're putting LeBron Landry on an injured reserve. That's a problem. But the Giants are a team you never know. And I'll tell you what, the Redskins are very competitive. Rex Grossman's playing probably the best ball of his career. He's playing well. They found a running back in Roy Helu. I mean, they could hang in it, but this game's on the road. I think the Giants will win. It's nice that that game is on Saturday, that Dallas game. It's isolated, so it's tough.
And they're home, and it means something to them. Well, look, the focus here is on beating the New York Jets, and to do that, Eagles are going to have to be very consistent on offense. They're going to have to be sound and physical on defense. That's been a challenge for this team to do it 2 weeks in a row of the season. Adam Kaplan, thanks for joining us here in our PhiladelphiaEagles.com Xfinity studio. We're coming right back.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Hey Eagles fan, it's Dominique Rogers-Cromartie, and I want to thank you for your support and have a happy holidays.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
This bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy.
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble.
And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
I talked earlier about just sort of how frustrating it is for you not being able to prove what you can do on the field. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you know, I don't even worry about it no more because the fans, they're going to love or hate you no matter what, you know. But once I start balling again, once I start being me and doing the stuff that I know I can do, you know, it'll be right back, you know. So I ain't really worried. It's just all about when the coaches want me to go out there. I know I got to work hard, and, you know, I'm going to keep working hard, and when my time comes, it's going to come.
Especially that sack party last week in Miami. I know you wanted to be a part of that.
Man, you know, it hurts sitting there knowing, like, you know, I knew every little move, you know, that I was working on this week that was good against the tackle because, you know, he's open to the inside, you know, and Babin was killing him with the spin move. And, you know, it's just good to know that, you know, I prepared well for the game. But, you know, even though I didn't play, you know, it was just good to, you know, just cheer for the boys, you know, everybody. Because if the D-line look good, we all look good. So
I know you talked earlier about the Jason Pierre-Paul comparisons. Is that just part of the frustration of not being able to show what you can do while he's playing so well?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's doing good. You know, I haven't been able to really – prove myself just yet, you know, but I will, you know, and if it's this year, but these last couple games, you know, to prove myself, if they put me in, you know, I'm gonna do it. But if not, next year I'm gonna be something to be reckoned with.
Do you feel like a full off season would help you because, you know, we spent so much time rehabbing this off season?
Yeah, you know, I really didn't get to work with my trainer that I usually do. You know, I had to really worry about my knee. You know, I wasn't in the best shape I could be, you know, because I had to really get my knee strong. You know, and once I really start, I didn't really start really running until I got to camp. You know, and by then, everybody pretty much had their off-season stuff, you know, and they just getting ready. Even though we all on the same level when we get in camp, it's still, you know, I still was behind a little bit coming out. But, you know, I'll be good. You know, I don't really worry about that stuff no more. I just lay low, be cool, because once I start doing what I do, you know, everybody be back anyway.
You have been telling us for several weeks that you've been good to go. Why do you think your number hasn't been called?
Oh, just, you know, pretty much they figure, you know, the season we having, you know, they like, should we play them, should we not? And, you know, they just want to protect me because, you know, they got a lot invested in me and they know what I can do and I know what I can do. But once, I mean, I think they just giving my knee some time, giving it a whole year. That's my guess because, you know, next what is it? What's today? Is that? A couple days will be the day, you know, I got hurt. Then next week will be the week that I had surgery. So I guess they just give me a whole year. Who knows?
Word from the locker room, quote Jeremy Maclin, "I'm playing, baby," when asked about his availability on Sunday. That hamstring injury has bothered him. And, you know, kind of knocked him out of the game on Sunday. Hey, Adam Kaplan, thanks for coming into the studio. Good to see you, buddy boy. Dave Spadaro with you, 215-339-6709. If you'd like to make a prediction, we've got Eagles Nightly this evening from the NovaCare Complex. And then tomorrow, we've got our Eagles Live with Bo Wolf and Chris McPherson. And then I'll be hosting Eagles Nightly. Game day coverage on Sunday kicks off at 3:45 with our kickoff show. And then we've got the halftime report. Bill Berge, former Eagles linebacker, will be the honorary alumni captain. And he'll be honored at halftime. And then the postgame show I'll be hosting with Ike Reese, presented by Rico. You can catch all of this on your computers, on your phones, on your iPads. Just go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com and you'll be able to check it out. You'll be directed to our mobile site and you'll see a link there to watch our programming live. So please do so. It's crystal clear. It looks great. And we would love you to continue to support us. Your participation allows us to do all these things, things that nobody that I see does. So we appreciate your support very much. And we actually need your support. 215-339-6709. Let's go to Georgia and talk to Jose. Hi, Jose.
Oh, man. Hello. This is so cool. I can't believe I'm talking to you right now.
Hey, man. How you doing? It's nice to talk to you.
I'm doing great. I'm just calling. I just heard about Graham. I was talking in the locker room.
Yeah. Can you turn your speakers down, please?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Thank you.
I think the Eagles got a great chance to win this game.
Okay, I'm with you.
I think that the Jets will have a good time with playing the defense, but the defense has to do a good job. The D line has to do the same great job they did against the game before. I mean, games are tested when the defenses play great. I mean, last week the Eagles played very good, just like when they played the Giants. Then they come over and they play very, very bad against the.
It is bizarre. It is bizarre, Jose, how they haven't been able to be consistent. And that's what we've talked about this morning. That's what we're looking for with this team, how they respond after a good game on Sunday. Let's get this team going. Let's find a way to get some consistency and some urgency week after week.
Yes, I mean, defense is winning games, and I mean, I really don't think they should be blaming that much Juan Castillo for the decisions he's making. I mean, he was an offensive line coach, and now he's a defensive coordinator. And now, you know, it's a big drastic. But I'm hoping that these last games, like the Eagles will give it the best shot. And I think they can win. I think that the Jets will have a hard time, and I think that Michael Vick is going to do a really good job. That's what I think.
I'm with you. Give me a prediction for the game, Jose.
I think the Eagles are winning by 21 points.
Okay, 21 points.
Yeah, that's what I think.
All right, I'll give you a 31-10. How's that?
31-10. All right, man.
All right, man. Thanks, brother.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, Jose. Very excited to get on the phone and talk today on Eagles Live. We like that kind of excitement. Let's check in again here on the headlines one final time before we end the show. It's an improving health situation. We expect Michael Vick to be at practice. Practice begins at 1:30, and we'll be out there with our report. Bobby April, the Jets have a great special team squad, and they do. They lead the league in kickoff returns, kickoff return average. So the Eagles rank first in kickoff return coverage. Should be a really interesting really interesting matchup there. Macklin says he will play on Sunday. Eagles Nightly wraps up the day at 7 p.m., and we hope you're here. Let's go back into the locker room now. Cullen Jenkins, Eagles defensive tackle, has been a voice of reason, of leadership, and to me is a player who absolutely could be getting some Pro Bowl consideration, for sure. By the way, this is the final week to vote on that. Cullen Jenkins has been there for the media every day. He has been there for his teammates every day, and we follow him a lot. So let's hear what Jenkins has to say about a really physical game expected on Sunday against the Jets.
Yesterday, you know, they just had me, you know, getting a lot of rest. You know, we've been treating it, and, you know, today we'll go out there and try to loosen it up some, and, you know, just do some running around, and then at the same time try not to overwork it.
You talked yesterday about
how good the Jets are in the red zone and about their run game being the key to that. I'm trying to remember that conversation. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Yeah, I was saying anytime you can run the ball good, you know, your red zone offense, you know, is going to be pretty well because, you know, if you get down in there, you know, you can continue to have that, you know, success running the ball. You can shorten up the down and distance, you know, where you can really open up the playbook.
Do they use all the runners down there, or is it mostly Green, or what do they do down there?
Well, Green, you know, is a big part of it, you know, but they will rotate down in there, you know, but the biggest thing for us, you know, first and foremost going in is just to stop the run. You know, we need to try to stop the run and you know, force them to try to beat us passing the ball, and, you know, that's our number one focus going in.
Is there, do they run it like anybody else? I mean, is there a scheme similar to anybody else you play in terms of the way?
I'm not sure, you know, they, I'm trying to think of the teams we played, you know, they run almost like the zone, you know, a little bit where they try to stretch you out some and, you know, get you running sideways, get you moving sideways, open up the gaps and stuff. Can't remember offhand which teams we played previously that did that.
Redskins, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys did well.
Yeah.
How you feel?
All right, that is Cullen Jenkins, Eagles defensive tackle, knows what to expect when the Eagles play the Jets. Let's check in on the Jets. New York quarterback Mark Sanchez. Boy, does that guy get a lot of attention in New York. Every mistake he makes magnified. He's actually statistically had a pretty darn good season. And the Jets, I think he's on pace to throw 30 touchdown passes. Let's go in and check out Mark Sanchez, his weekly press conference with the New York media.
Football and offense, you know, controlling the line of scrimmage like we try and do with our offensive line, and having a great effort on offense, defense, and special teams. But there's some things we got to clean up from this last game, and we won't be shy about doing that.
Mark, how about this Eagles defense? A lot of playmakers in the flare out to the ball.
You know, some of the best players I've seen all year on tape. So it's going to be another great challenge for us. You know, they have great pass rushers. Three really stellar corners, a couple good safeties, and fast flow linebackers. So we're gonna have our hands full this week, and we're gonna need a great effort.
Mark, you guys have scored 13 touchdowns in the last three games, averaging over 30 points. What's been the biggest difference in this stretch?
I think, you know, our third down percentage have been pretty good. I think we've established the running game pretty well. I think we've gotten timely completions, and the biggest thing is scoring in the red zone. You know, we've been probably our best since I've been here. The last 3 years of scoring, when we get down in the red zone, that's scoring touchdowns, not field goals. So that's been huge, and we need to keep that trend rolling.
Mark, how about Philly? It's generally regarded as maybe the toughest place to play on the road. As a quarterback who has to deal with the noise and the fans and everything that goes on there, how do you prepare for that kind of atmosphere?
Well, it's noise or weather, whatever it is. You know, we need to adjust you know, trust the game plan like we do every week. I think we've gotten off to a great start. And, you know, it was a great Wednesday. We got to keep winning each day. And once we get to the stadium, just focus in, you know, let my voice carry as much as I can and communicate all the information I need to our guys. But we'll adjust on the road.
Mark, what is it about this team thriving in big spots, whether it's in the playoffs or trying to get into the playoffs down the stretch?
Well, I think this particular group, we understood, you know, what chances we had early in the season. And, you know, we kind of squandered some opportunities, so we want to get back on track, and we know we have a chance to make the playoffs still, whether it's a wild card. You know, we've taken that road before, and you know, it might be more difficult, but you know, we want to get in the postseason and take our shot and make a little run here. So I think that's the most important thing, and we've cleaned up a lot of mistakes, so that's why we're playing better.
Mark, when you look at all the talent, you talked about the talent on this Eagles defense, what is the key to, you know, how things going against them?
Get the ball out of your hand quick if you're the quarterback. I think, you know, hanging on to it because they know how to strip the ball from a ball carrier, running great routes from our wideouts, being at the exact landmark that we need them to be because they have two great cover corners, and then a great nickel player. you know, and just being physical up front, we're going to need to play well. So, and you know, take good plays and bad plays in stride. You know, understand that they're a very talented group. They're going to have good plays, and not to get discouraged, not to get frustrated, and just keep pushing and trust the plan.
Mark, is the approach any different knowing that you guys now control your own destiny?
Nothing's changed. You know, all these games are must wins, and, you know, we needed to win a lot of games in a short period of time here. So that's our focus, and, you know, that's the way guys approach it each week, and, you know, I'm proud of the way they practice today. We had a great day.
Take one more for electronic. Do you like the way that you guys have shown the professionalism here down the stretch in competing to get this spot?
Well, it's important, you know, in December, you know, late November, December, playing your best football. And right as the year ends, we got to be at our best. That means, you know, on my part, taking care of the football and not turning it over the last couple games has been huge. So, you know, defenses thrive off stuff like that. And, you know, when I turn it over or something, puts our defense in a tough spot. So we try to eliminate that. And just doing, you know, one little thing like that, making that one adjustment has really helped.
Thank you, Electron. Did you just back out for the runners get in? Mark.
It's that Baltimore game. And, you know, Nick was out. How much have you guys grown since then? How much of that game was just maybe an aberration because of the fact that Nick wasn't there?
Yeah, like you said, not having Nick is a big hit for us. And, you know, he's done a great job battling back from that injury and, you know, getting us to where we are today in our pass protection. So I'm proud of that group for making some adjustments on.